Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you this week. We're talking, and we did last week, about God's Spirit being given us to be our guide. And so we're reading from Brother Hagin's book, How Does He Guide Us? And we studied yesterday from his book, How to Be Led by the Holy Spirit, that by the Spirit of God, we discovered that the number one way he leads us is Romans 8:11, where it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then the number two way. Now, folks, I'm skipping over the chapter on being led by fleeces. That's not the way to be led, but you need to get the book to find out about the error in that. Then number two way is the inward voice. Number one way is the inward witness. Number two way is the inward voice. The number one way the Spirit guides us is through the inward witness. I'm reading Kenneth E. Hagin. Number two is by the inward voice. The inward man, who is a spirit man, has a voice, just as the outward man has a voice. We call this voice of the inward man conscience. We call this voice the still small voice. Your voice, your spirit has a voice. Your spirit will speak to you. In September 1966, we moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma from Garland, Texas. We had lived there 17 years. The move came about like this. My wife and I were in Tulsa on business. The ministry was growing. I'd already figured out in my head that what I would do with my office and home in Texas to accommodate the growth. But a friend with whom we were staying in Tulsa said, Brother Hagin, you ought to move to Tulsa. Brother T.L. Osborne's old office building is for sale. His business manager asked me to sell it for them. Then he quoted their price. It was extremely low, but I was not interested. Finally, he said, let's just go look at it. I went along just to humor him. That was Lee Eller, by the way. I'll tell who it was. The minute I stood inside that building, a buzzer went off inside of me. Sometimes that inward witness is so real, it can almost sound like an inward buzzer. I knew as well as I knew my name. This is it. But I didn't want to listen to it. I wanted to stay in Garland, Texas. That's why we don't hear a lot of times we don't want to hear. We say we do, but we don't. Back at our friend's home, my wife asked me about the building. Oh, no. I've already got it all figured out. We'll stay where we are. We'll turn our whole home into an office, and we'll just stay in Garland. We went to bed that night, but I couldn't sleep. Ordinarily, I have no trouble sleeping. The Bible says he gives his beloved sleep, Psalm 127:2. I'm his beloved and so are you. He has made us accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1:16. So I always claim the promises of God and say, Lord, I'm your beloved, so I take you at your word, I thank you for sleep, and I always go to sleep. This time I couldn't. My conscience was hurting. My conscience is the voice of my spirit. My spirit knows I didn't listen to it. Lying there quietly in the nighttime, I said, Lord, if you want me to move to Tulsa, I will. In the natural, I don't want to move there, but I wouldn't want to stand in your way. Then on the inside of me, I heard the still small voice. Now, I'm not talking about the Spirit of God speaking. When the Holy Spirit speaks, it's more authoritative. The still small voice is the voice of our own spirit speaking, but our own spirit picks it up from the Holy Spirit who indwells us. That still small voice, that inward voice, not authoritative, just something on the inside of me said, I'm going to give you that building. I laughed. I know there's a lot of unbelief about this, but I said, okay, when you do, I'll believe it. That inward voice, picking up on what the Holy Spirit was saying, said, you watch me. Without going into all the details, it would surprise you how God gave us that building. And in this book, in a later edition, they did go into it in detail in Appendix 3. Effects of the Spirit's indwelling. Paul, earnestly, beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before this day. It is interesting to go through the epistles Paul wrote to the church and see what he said about his conscience. You will notice that he always obeyed it. Is your conscience a safe guide? Yes, if your spirit has become a new man in Christ, it has become your conscience, It became your conscience, and it is the voice of your spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. These new things take place in a man's spirit. He's a brand new man. All things have passed away. The nature of the devil in his spirit is gone. All things have become new in his spirit, not in his body or his mind, but he has the nature of God in his spirit. Therefore, if your spirit is a new man with the life and nature of God in it, it is a safe guide. A person who has not been born again could not follow the voice of his spirit. His spirit is unregenerate. His conscience would permit him to do anything. When you have the life and nature of God in you, your conscience will not permit you to do just anything. If you are born again, you have the life of God in you. Here, in the present tense, we have eternal life now. If you are a born-again Christian, you have the life of God in your spirit now. You have the nature of God in your spirit now. Oh, if people would learn to follow their spirits. If they would learn to take advantage of the life that is in them. I joined the church and was baptized early in life, but that didn't make me a Christian. My spirit was still unregenerate when I became totally bedfast with a heart condition at the age of 15. I was truly born again during the 16 months I was bedfast. Then in August 1934, as a Baptist boy reading Grandma's Methodist Bible, I was healed. I went back to school. I missed one whole school year before I was born again. I barely got by in some classes. Back then, a D was failing. If you failed one subject, you stayed in that grade and you took it all over again. After I was born again, however, I never made anything but straight A report card. I never took one book home to study. Now, I didn't know a thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit then, but you know what I did know? I had the life of God in me. As I walked down the street to school every morning, I had a conversation with the Lord. Unconsciously, I was being led by the Spirit. My heart told me to do it, and I listened to my heart instead of my head. I said, now, Lord, I read in the Old Testament where Daniel and the three Hebrew children were in school in Babylon, and you gave them favor with the dean of the school, Daniel 1:9. God gave me favor with every teacher. Thank you for it. I have it now. I also read that when their 3 years of training were over, the three Hebrew children were 10 times smarter than the rest. Verses 18 through 20, Lord, I have your life in me. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light stands for development. Impart to me knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, that I may be 10 times smarter. Every day, 10 times better. Every day as I walked to school, I would confess, in him was life. Now this comes from John 1:4. And the life was the light of men. That life is in me. The life of God is in me. That life is the light. It is the development of me. It is developing my spirit. It is developing my mentality. I have God in me. I have God's wisdom in me. I have God's life in me. That life of God in my spirit dominates me. I purpose in my heart to walk in the light of life. Now, I do not mean that I just skipped by in study hall periods. I studied. I listened intently in class to everything that was said, but by receiving eternal life into my spirit and getting my mind renewed with the Word of God, my mentality was increased from 30 to 60%. The life of God will do that for anyone. The most amazing miracle I've ever seen of eternal life affecting someone's mentality occurred in a girl I shall call Mary. Her mentality was increased by at least 90%. Mary started to school at 7 and went 7 years without getting out of the first grade. In those 7 years, she never learned to write her name. Finally, they asked her parents to take her out of school. In the church I pastored, Mary was at that time 18 years old, but she behaved like a 2-year-old. She would get down and crawl around on the floor like a baby. If she happened not to be sitting with her mother, she would slide under the pews or lift up her skirt and step over them to get to where her mother was. Her clothes were always a sight. Her hair was never combed. Then one night, during an evangelistic revival meeting, Mary came to the altar. There she received eternal life, the nature of God. A drastic change occurred instantly. The very next night, she sat in the service and behaved like an 18-year-old young lady. She had fixed her hair and dressed up. Her mentality seemed to have increased overnight. Years later, I went back to the city to help with the funeral. "Whatever happened to Mary?" I asked the church secretary. She led me out to the front porch. "See all those new houses going up over there?" I said, "Yes, that's an addition to the city. Mary is building that. She's a widow now. She handles all her own money. She's her own financier. She has three lovely children. They're on the front pew every Sunday. They're the best dressed and the most well-behaved children in church. As church secretary, I can tell you that Mary's tithes and offerings are here every Sunday." The life of God came into her. I am convinced we have never completely learned what we have received. Most have thought that the Lord just forgave us, saying that we're the same old creature we always was. We'll just try to hold out faithful till the end. If we get enough people to pray for us, maybe we can make it. No, thank God. The life of God has been imparted to our spirits. The nature of God is in our spirits. The Holy Spirit is living and abiding in our spirits. Now, when you read this book, you're going to see, I'm not going to have time to read it to you, but you need to order the book, because tomorrow we're going to talk about the third, number three way that God leads us. But you need to get this book, because he teaches how to train the human spirit. And he says, just as the body of a man can be developed through exercise, feeding and exercise, so can the spirit through feeding it and exercising it. Feeding it on the Word of God, exercising it, obeying it instantly. And just as the mind of a man can be trained, so can the spirit, the most important part of a man. And he goes into how to train the human spirit. A wonderful thing to do would be to order from Kenneth Hagin Ministries his tapes teaching on this, how to train the human spirit. One man I know took this tape of Brother Hagin's teaching, how to train the human spirit, locked himself up in a closet, or sat in a closet with that tape and listened to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And God, his spirit got so trained that God showed him how to invest his money, and he became a multimillionaire. And God, I know him very well, and he has used his money for the Lord. Bless God. So your spirit can be trained. And you will want to order this book, where he talks about the difference between being born of the Spirit and receiving eternal life, and then developing your spirit. And he teaches you to depend on your spirit. Your spirit knows things that your head does not know, because the Holy Spirit is in your spirit, and he will guide you. So you need to learn to depend on your spirit more than your head. And so you'll want to keep yourself tender-hearted. All this is in the book. So you want to order How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. Just phone us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. And request Brother Hagin's book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. It normally sells for $14. And we will send it to you plus shipping, $10 plus shipping. And I hope just buku of you begin to be led by your spirits, so that you don't make mistakes in these last days. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.